Hey everybody, welcome back once again to the penultimate episode of the year. You haven't seen that podcast, or YHST for short. I'm Isaac.
I'm Alva.
And this is a show where we cover movies on the growing list of films that has people asking us the question, you haven't seen that? We are covering one movie today.
Just one, guys.
Just one. Tell them what it is.
It's Nosferatu.
Yeah, and then we're going to get... and
creaky door noise insert here.
Now, originally we wanted this to be the like end of year episode, but we came back from... a vacation, and so we were a little bit tired, and we thought, you know what, we don't have the energy to put out there. Let's take a day, take a beat. So we did that, and we're pushing our end of year episode, which will be the next episode that you listen to, which will be covering Baby Girl and A Complete Unknown.
Yep.
Two movies that made me feel very different in all the good, best and worst ways. But we're talking Nosferatu today, and at the second half of our show, we're going to have our version of a first part, two-parter thing, our kind of year-end review. We'll get to that when we get to that. So anything else you wanted to talk about? Oh, yeah. For those of you joining us on audio only, we also live stream the show at...
F-Y-E-H-E-D Films on TikTok and Instagram.
That's Forehead Films. You can live stream us there. If you want to support our little show, please do so at Venmo at YHST Pod. We highly appreciate that. We're also putting some little snippets and shorts out on Instagram, on TikTok, and on YouTube. We want to kind of get momentum going there. And the YouTube, you can find us at YHST Pod. So there you have it. There it is.
What he said.
Yeah, let's talk Nosferatu. Jeez, where to even begin? We saw it Christmas Day. We make it a habit of seeing a movie on Christmas Day. Usually they always have some movie playing. And we saw Nosferatu. Unfortunately, we didn't get the Nosferatu tin because I wanted to like have that here, the popcorn thing. Obviously, the shit was sold out.
I hate people.
We've been excited for this movie for... the entire year, I think just since its announcement and then knowing that Bill Skarsgård was going to play Nosferatu, the, you know, Count Orlok, I'm like, yeah, this guy's going to knock it out of the park because he was great as Pennywise. And it's not the first time he's played a vampire. Mm-mm. He played a vampire in Hemlock Grove. If you're not familiar with that show, there's a couple of seasons out. The first season is the best one. The rest were kind of dog shit garbage. So don't waste your time. So this is directed by Robert Eggers. And if you are not familiar with Robert Eggers, this guy is like a man out of time, and he makes sure to put you into that era of that movie. He's done The Witch with Anya Taylor-Joy, Northman with Alexander Skarsgård and Anya Taylor-Joy, and The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe. The first and last movies we haven't seen, so because I wanted to kind of compare this movie to... those other two, although we've seen Northman, and I think it was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Those other two movies are on our list, and we'll cover them when we start doing our like full movie breakdowns, because I think some of those movies now deserve a beat to really dissect the whole thing.
Definitely.
What were your feelings going into this, other than like sheer excitement?
I didn't know how it was gonna he was going to actually do it, because I know we've seen, was it the Northman? And that's all I've basically seen of him, so I didn't know like much of his style. But I was really hoping they didn't really ruin it, because I believe earlier this year there was like a movie that kind of was ruined a bit. But this is one where I was really waiting for it to happen.
What movie?
I don't remember the movie. That's why I said that. I think earlier this year there was a movie, never said movie's name.
What do you mean, like the somebody rebooted and ruined it?
I think so, yeah. There's a lot that have been rebooted lately.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
In the realm of movies that have been rebooted, I always get scared of these. You know, like okay, of course they're gonna do a remake, something we're familiar with. I'm actually okay with something that's a reboot that is, what is this now, 102 years?
Oh yeah, this one years
after. I think that's a good span of time
for this one. Yeah.
So the original Nosferatu came out in 1922, and if you're not familiar,
it's stolen.
If you're not familiar, yeah, with Nosferatu, do you want to fill them in on some of the history?
Bram Stoker's Dracula, that's where this all comes out. Basically, someone made a movie that was not authorized. His wife did not authorize to make this movie, and it was a stolen movie, and she fought so hard to have that making of that movie to taken out, but by the time that all that was going, it got such a following that we just know it as a lost film.
Yeah, basically, it's like a first version of fan fiction, except it follows pretty closely to the original Bram Stoker's Dracula. In fact, if you've seen Bram Stoker, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, those are, you got some business person visits the Count, And then he gets, held captive, and there's a love interest. And so then our vampires in both stories travel across the pond in order to acquire them. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of vampire hijinks ensue. It's a loose summary of the whole thing.
I think this one is like, this vampire is the closest thing to like what a vampire would be.
Okay, you mean you don't like the sparkly vampires?
I don't like the sparkly ones. Cause
okay. This is the skin of a killer.
It's the skin of a killer.
It's probably the least sexiest vampire story.
Yeah, I guess. When I think vampires, I don't think like handsome or like good looking. I feel like they're old because they've been turned from like centuries ago. And I'm just like, how are you wearing jeans right now? Why are you doing this? Why have you not decayed? What point of this is not? So I think this for me is like the closest thing to like a true vampire that I can.
So you get like on this board. Version of the vampire where he's actually kind of like a corpse.
Yeah, because I just feel like the whole thing with a vampire isn't really on the looks, but like the actions of it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, again, I would say like the lesser sexy version of, you know, the Dracula character that it's based on. But even though he is not a great looking guy, and if you've seen the original 1922 Nosferatu, or if you've seen that one episode of SpongeBob where they're like, wait, if it's not the hatchling and slasher, who is it? Nosferatu. Aww. Total sidebar. But the whole idea is that he's not a handsome looking guy, but he still seduces people.
Yeah, he has the riz.
That's right. Alexander Skarsgård was a vampire.
Yeah.
Because I only get my vampire lore from What We Do in the Shadows, which the series just ended and we finished it.
We did, yeah.
It was so sad. Oh my gosh. Please, people, tell me that you've seen What We Do in the Shadows. It's a mockumentary series. It's so fun. The movie itself was a crap ton of fun. And there is a Nosferatu in that. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. There it is.
I think that would be like the second closest.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, again, so where to begin with this movie? It's, like I said before, Eggers does a great job of immersing you in that era. And this era was
Victorian.
Victorian Gothic with the musical score.
Oh, yeah. The musical score, the costume design.
Oh, gosh. The costume design's gorgeous.
The hair. Those were actually like real authentic pieces designed for like the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. So everything in this movie is pre-Black Plague.
Okay.
Or around there. So when you're seeing the outfits and everything, you're just like this. And I think that's why I like this version and this one better than all the other ones that have come out. Mm. If you know me, I am very much into a Victorian era, Venetian style.
We saw the Winchester House and then they're like, and this is the Venetian city room. She goes, Venetian.
Like, this, like, I don't know what it is about that style, that the art or whatever. It just attracts me and I just find it so fascinating. So when I was watching this and throughout the whole movie, I don't know if you like you saw me next to me, but I was like doing the little
happy feet
thing every time there's something going on. I was like, this is amazing. But not just that, but also how it started too. This is already in the trailer, that hand that's just going through the town. And I felt like Robert Eggers did a perfect thing because in an interview he said that that's how he wanted to have where vampires kind of hypnotize you, but he wanted to like visualize it. And I'm like, that is exactly how I feel like that would be, because it's basically the shadow. They're in the shadows. Mm-hmm. This is like pasty, can't go in the sun, will burn kind of thing. Like, that's what you think. Yeah. Vampires.
The visuals of this movie were stunning. And that's, I want to preface this with, my job today is not really to convince you to go see this movie, because I would imagine that everyone that follows this podcast and watches a stream is already going to go see it. They just haven't found the time because it's a holiday season. We're just talking about it to talk about it. So I'm not going to try to convince, you know, there is no convincing. You know what I mean? Like, if it ain't your, if goth stuff and horror, classic horror ain't your thing,
I'll throw myself out the window.
This movie really isn't going to be for you, because like, we saw it with my sister Ruby and her kids. And then my other nephew, Andre, and the two boys are like, this is boring. Because it's so full authentic. They're talking like the times. So the script, the dialogue is so rich and full of that like Victorian talk that even I was like, I think I need subtitles. Like
I did not need any subtitles.
No, totally. But there's some moments where I'm like, okay, I got this. I lost it. I got it. Because half the time the boys are like fucking around, but whatever, neither here nor there. So they're like, this is boring. I'm like, yo, if only you knew the intensity of what was going on right now.
I think the whole time there's something that would happen or would build up, I would have the biggest smile on my face. I don't know if you saw, but like besides the happy feet, I think I was smiling throughout the whole movie and I was just, my cheeks were hurting at the end and I was just like, this is amazing. It was just everything about this. I don't think I've found anything that was wrong about this.
Full stop. The visuals of this movie were stunning as absolute hell. And I can only sample the one movie of Robert Eggers.
What did they call him, Bobby?
Well, like Robert De Niro, Bobby, yeah. Like that, the one movie that Alva and I have seen.
Northman, excuse me.
It was so visually stunning. Like this is what happens when you have a director who, one, cares about the property, two, has a vision, and then is just completely running with it. And I think a lot of that is thanks to this, it being an A24 Studios, which he's worked with before and with the aforementioned movies. And I love that. This helped make this movie the number six highest grossing horror of the year. Easily. Not only is it highest grossing because of like the hype behind it and everything, but it actually lands. Because there can be hype behind a lot of stuff, and then you're like, you watch, you go, fucking, what the hell did I just, Jesus Christ. Because I was so, I'm like, man, there is so much energy behind this thing. I really hope it hits. So anyways, I'm all over the place, but the visuals were amazing. A lot of like static shots, and I'm getting nerdy with this stuff, but it's, even I would go, ooh, he had these like really cool transitions and how he moved from, I think like our two or three storylines. And he would do that in a very visually interesting way with like a cool transition.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just like, I'm watching, for instance, like I'm watching Nicholas Holt as, you know, Thomas Hutter. And then he would just swoop into a shadow and then emerge from something else. And now you're with, you know, Alan, his wife, played by Lily Rose Depp. And it would just seamlessly move through these things. He did this thing where it's his own vision, but yet at the same time, he incorporates what I feel is like classic movie making. You know what I mean? There's not a crap ton of CG or like huge visual effects or anything like that other than like classic movie magic. God, it's just, it looks so great. It feels, you feel immersed in the movie with everyone's acting and the soundtrack and obviously the visuals. It's a horror film, but I would say I wasn't feeling any kind of like fear, but a lot of discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's thanks to how he shot the scenes.
Definitely the set too, how it had to be like, oh, yeah,
gorgeous sets.
I just want to live there, but I can't.
The monster Nosferatu,
Count
Orlok. A lot of problems with horror films, especially when they're actually trying to elicit a scared feeling, a terrified feeling, do a really terrible job, and maybe they'll introduce the visual of the monster early on, maybe saving it because it won't land in the end. This one did such a great job. For one, there was no leaks in social media. Mm-mm. The only glimpse you got of Skarsgård as Orlok was like
a hand.
A hand, and like the poster with just a shadow, and you see a little mop of hair and just his overall stature. Because Skarsgård's he's a tall dude. He has a presence about him, and he brought that to this role.
A spooky presence.
Even though originally he was actually trying out for
Thomas Hutter.
Yeah, which is Aaron Taylor. No,
Nicholas Holt.
I thought he was going for Aaron Taylor Johnson.
No. He first when he first read the script 10 years ago before it got rewritten, he was going for Thomas Hutter, and then they're like, nah, they casted Nicholas Holt. So then he was like, oh, I'll do Harding. No, Aaron Taylor Johnson. And then just kind of thing. And then that's when Robert Eggers were like, Count Orlok. And he's like, well, where are we going with this?
Because Eggers did have Skarsgård in mind after seeing him in It as Pennywise. And dear God, people who listen and watch the show, please tell me you've seen Skarsgård as Pennywise in It. A presence. He's like a really sweet, nice guy. But when he puts his, I don't know, his creepiness into something, like, it lands. Yeah. Not like it lands. It does. It definitively lands. Eggers does a great job in not revealing the monster and keeping him in the shadows and even playing with that, literally like by you only seeing like a blurry shoulder of him and only hearing his voice, which I'll get to his voice in just a second.
Or just a shadow of him, kind of like just a silhouette.
Just a silhouette. Or there's this one scene, and I'm not spoiling anything, but there's this one scene when he's first introduced, him and Nicholas Holt's character, Thomas Hutter, meet, and he is tending to him. And in movie making, they call it the Texas switch, where to make it seem like they sort of like teleport into one location, you have different actors, but they do this thing where you would, you know, Orlok is on one side of the table and then the camera sort of pans and pushes him out of frame. All of a sudden he's like on the opposite side of the room. And they did that a handful of times and it was so fucking spooky. It was so fucking spooky.
Yeah, that like gave how like fast he would move. So you kind of wouldn't, you would be uneasy with that interaction.
Oh, very uneasy.
Because he was uneasy the whole time.
So a lot of that I wouldn't, again, I wasn't scared, but
I was scared.
I was uneasy and uncomfortable the way that these characters were, because in horror films, it's, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief and you have to try to put yourself in the shoes of the protagonists. And when one of our main leads, Nick Holt, his character like is just a very business oriented person. I'm only going here for a thing and doesn't believe in anything of the supernatural other than his wife who does. And so how does somebody who believes in nothing like that react when he encounters something that he can't explain? And that slow progression of fear and uneasiness is great. I think Nicholas Holt's fantastic. I still need to see Juror Number 2. Forgive me for that one. He's been amazing in so many other roles, even some of like the comic book stuff. Renfield.
That was such a good one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Have you guys seen Renfield? I think as far as like a Dracula, an actual for sure Dracula, Nicolas Cage is now my favorite Dracula.
Yeah.
But the movie's amazing. The movie does a great job in illustrating fear. They stay true to like the original lore. They play with some of that too, with the Lily Depp's character who is a sleepwalker. Well, I'm not going to spoil anything, but she's a sleepwalker. And what that sort of means at that time in relation to her encounters with Orlok is so fantastic and fantastical. She was wonderful in it. My God, they asked a lot of her. Like, there's at least like a fifth of the scenes where she's like fucking, you know, convulsing all the time.
She had
a twerking teacher.
No, what's it called? I forgot what it is. I forgot what it is, but she trained with someone to have her body like move that way and her facial expressions too and everything while all that. So it was even more authentic when those things were happening instead of just like, it's just happening.
And she has a pretty famous father who can teach her a thing or two. Johnny Depp is her papa. I skipped over Bill Skarsgård's voice. Now, the 1922 Nosferatu is a silent film. So you have the room to play with, like, what is this character going to sound like? And Skarsgård always differentiates his monsters and how they act and absolutely how they sound. This was no exception. He trained with I forget who, but it's in essence was practicing Mongolian chants. And Mongolian chanting is like you're using your higher and lower vocal cords simultaneously. Yeah, YouTube that stuff. What's that one band? Is it Wolf Mother? No, Who. It's like H-U-U. H-U-U? H-U-U. H-U-U. And it's scary as fuck. It's very eerie. Obviously, they treated it in post-production, I would imagine, to make it even that much more booming. But like the first words that he utters, it's bone-chilling. You're like, oh, man, I'm settling in with this monster.
Not only did he did the Mongolian throat scene, but he also did the opera training for it as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I get it because there's some parts where it sounds very like Mongolian.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's when he's like doing certain things or you hear his voice and like it sounds very like in a way like how an opera singer would kind of just talk. But
okay.
Within that same.
Yeah.
Like if they were singing it, mm-hmm. but without the singing part. Yeah. You get it.
I do.
Yeah.
Because I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the presence that Count Orlok has throughout the film, especially within like the first and second act, is exactly that. He is a presence because again, when you reveal your monster full on, then that kind of gets ruined because you want to first set up the foundations of how everyone is feeling about this person and this mm-hmm. presence. And it is so goddamn well illustrated in this film. I can't say no any more than that. And every time he speaks, like, they're hanging on it. It's every word, every phrase is chilling as hell.
I think also when he talks, how he's talking, he's kind of like, in a way, hypnotizing you.
Yes, there you go.
Because
brevity's not in my vocabulary.
There you go. Because that's how I felt when I was waiting for him to speak sometimes. I'm just like, is he going to speak now? No, it's just him walking or it's just like a shadow just passed by or whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, I guess now I'm also being hypnotized in the audience.
No, absolutely. And then I want to quickly bounce around to some of the other actors that earn an honorable mention. Willem Dafoe. Do I have to mm-hmm. say any more? He's always great in every role that he's in and puts forth all of himself. And he's amazing as a sort of, knockoff Van Helsing character, Professor Franz. And to the point where he's like kind of on the verge of kookiness. So his character is always fun and how they explain that world or the world of the occult to like the normies. And like I mentioned, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who in a couple of episodes we talked about that he played Kraven the Hunter.
I'm so happy he didn't ruin this one. So happy.
Go ahead.
I did like his role in this. He was very much of a, how I would feel a person of that status and everything would act and be.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that's thanks to the direction of Eggers. But I think I need to, as far as Aaron Taylor Johnson's concerned, I think I need to see him in a role that, I don't know if he has range. Like, I want to see him in a role that really forces him to put everything in it. He was great in this. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, not to make it a Kraven review, but you're like, dude, you couldn't even slightly elevate this movie. Just my opinion. Lastly, Aaron Taylor Johnson's wife in this, played by Emma Corrin, played Anna Harding, who I'm that person that's like, where is she from? What is she from? Shoot. She played Cassandra Nova in Deadpool Wolverine. It's like, oh, that's who she is.
Yeah.
Played a sweet mother, as opposed to like her, you know, psychotic character in Deadpool Wolverine.
I didn't recognize her.
No, yeah, I only found that out right now because I was like, all right, let me look up the cast.
Like, besides, what's it called? Lily Rose Depp, Nicholas Hoult, Bill Skarsgård, of course, Willem Dafoe. Like, there was no, like, who's that one? I need to know who she is. But
right.
Even though I didn't recognize her, it didn't take me away from her role.
No, not at all.
And I like how her being the wife of
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
Frederick
Harding.
What did I say? Harding, yeah.
Yeah. Even her as being, like, the wife was like very meek and like, yes, no, and like,
yeah.
Yeah. Kind of how I feel like women would be in that era too.
God, the frustration though I was feeling, but it's so appropriate in that era where it's like, you know, women don't really have a strong place. They need to know their place. And when you have someone like Ellen Hutter, played by Lily Rose Depp, and she is like, no, 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 no. You know, she's kind of like the kid in the beginning of a horror film. Like, let me tell you the things that are going wrong. Let me warn you. You didn't listen to me.
I felt it.
Yeah. Here. I felt you feel it.
I was like, I know how it feels.
Just listen to her. God damn it.
Yeah. But also how they call it like melancholy. Oh, you just, I was like, no, let's call it what it is.
Oh, she's just right. That time.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Even like the actual doctors in there and they think, well, let's give her a little extra ether.
Yeah. A little. Why not? Where's that rag?
Yeah, so if anyone is listening and watching, if you needed any push, any motivation to go see the movie, goddamn it, go see the fucking movie. What are you doing? For anyone who has seen the movie, please tell us in the comments and DMs like what you thought about it, your favorite parts, your favorite actors. Did you get from it what you expected out of it? So
also, if you don't know much about the Victorian era, I can guide you through that easily. I will be the pasty white child in the corner telling you where to go.
She is. Oh my God, this is totally sidebar because she's always, dressed in black. Quite a few years ago, we went to like a Halloween horror night. And like, you know, I'm trying to get scared at all these things. And And then she's just like I turn a corner and then like you were just there like, ah. And even like at home when she's just like, not even, there's moments where we're trying to scare each other and we're like, ah, nothing, not a flinch. I even set off like a fucking like little New Year's popper one time.
Just looked annoyed at him.
Not a fucking blink. I have the video somewhere to confirm that, to corroborate that. And then there's one thing, she's just like getting ready. And I step out of the bathroom, and she's just standing there in all black, not too dissimilar to what she's wearing now. And I'm like, ha! She's like, what? I didn't do anything. I'm like, ugh. Sorry. A little bit of a sidebar.
I don't even do good with mazes anymore. I just laugh through the whole thing.
I know, dude. The mazes don't even get me anymore. Okay. So to close out on Nosferatu, like I said, it was number 6 in the highest grossing horror movies. It made 21.6 in the proper opening weekend and then shot up to about 40 million internationally. Now, I was looking at it, and I don't think it's been released anywhere else internationally, like, you know, major releases. It looks like it's going to be in a few days that they'll be dropping. Tomorrow. So, I think that number is going to jump up significantly, and I'm very curious to see how high that's going to jump up. Speaking of which, did you know that, and I posted it up on my stories, but you know that Wicked now is the highest grossing.
It passed Mamma Mia.
Yeah, it passed Mamma Mia, so it's the highest grossing musical adaptation. Go Wicked. Go see Wicked.
Go see it because I told you. Go see it because he told you, but mostly because I told you.
And now on to our segment of the game that we call YHST Gets Fresh. Ooh. This is the segment of the show where every other episode we alternate in guessing the Rotten Tomatoes score of the aforementioned movie. The score from 59 and below being rotten and 16 above being fresh, as well as giving our own personal rating. Dear, what do you give your personal rating of Nosferatu?
Personal 98, critics 93, and audience 98.
Okay, that's now let's compare those. Why she rapid fired those? Almost as if she had them written down finally. Okay, critics give this an 86%, and then the audience gave it a 75%. I think with Robert Eggers' films, because it's so artsy, that properly slowly paced. I wouldn't say it's a boring movie at all. Like it hits when it needs to. It lets scenes breathe, mm-hmm. which usually means that the dumber audience.
Wait, hold on.
It's gonna go really hold angry on, there for a second.
I mijo you and your big words.
It usually means that the audience is gonna be like, I didn't get it. It's too slow.
Also, I feel like they wouldn't get it because this is very traditional folklore.
Nice, yeah.
How he looks, how everyone's dressed, everything about it. And I feel like people don't understand that even like the little nuances, like I'm just going to go back to this. The cats. There's cats.
Oh, yeah,
in right. this movie. But back then, cats were, they couldn't be tamed. Like they're just like, you can't train a cat. I can't train my cat. Maybe I could train him with me one thing. But
he's sleeping there on the side.
But you couldn't train cats, so they kind of just like let them be outdoors and they would kill them and stuff. So the fact that they introduced rats and they gave you a timeline of what it was and how the fact that it was a black plague and there was not enough cats and everything. So I'm just like, you're not just introducing me into like the historical part of like mm-hmm. the Victorian era. You're actually bringing true events that happened and all these little things and nuances and also like how like the occult and like the doctor and all that stuff and how
it's cohesive.
How certain people were shunned because they're like, well, no, that could be medicine too, and we could treat it like this yeah. and learn, you know. But like, no, that's just crazy. You're gone.
the bloodletting.
Yeah, but even also with like, okay? Oh yeah, even also with like, people are expecting Nosferatu to do his bidding with, like, you know, you see Dracula, you instantly go for the neck.
Oh, correct.
But is this the spoiler?
Well, he doesn't go for the neck.
Yeah, he doesn't go for the neck. But, like, where he does it, it's more of, like, this romantic part of it where yeah. it you would feel it would be best mm-hmm. and all this other stuff. And I feel like people, if they're not into, like, this gothic style, they kind of, it goes over their heads a bit. And I think that's where a lot of those things 75, but I don't trust those people because I look through those people's comments.
The audience rating, but movies like this, I really do get surprised. Like 86% for a critic score, I think it's, I mean, it's solid, it's great, it's fresh, it's very fresh. But I always think like, why not higher? What kept them back? And I'm not going to go into the fucking reviews because then it's going to get us mad again, and we're going to be like, they're fucking just like, you know, lame asses in their basement. So
I can't do that again, I swear.
So that ends YHST Get Fresh. Now, we don't have trivia today, but I have a version of like my end of year review. I got to learn how to finish that song.
No.
When I'm doing the whole like YHST Get Fresh spiel, then like it has a proper ending and I get to drop off. So I have my own idea of a year in review. This is going to be a two-parter. This is the first part that essentially... we're going to go through all of the movies that we saw this year, which was a total of 64 movies.
Correct.
Why did I think it was more? You know, we saw a lot of movies on the back half of it. On the first half, we were busy with just a crap ton of other stuff.
First half of the year, usually for movies, are very slow because everyone wants to get their movies in towards the middle summertime and the back end so they can get in for those nominations for the awards for the next year. That's why, like, the beginning, it's mostly focused on award season. January, February is award season.
Well, that, and we weren't doing intermission, so we weren't pushed to go see, like, a ton of movies. Oh, that turned off.
I guess I'm right.
What's that?
I said, I guess I'm right.
No. No, you're not right. No, it was completely opposite of what I was trying to say.
Listen to me.
So, what this is going to be is we have split up, we've shuffled all of the movies that we've seen, and we have like the front, we have one division called Isaac's division.
Conference.
And when did we agree on a name change? I asked for conference. You're like, okay, then nah.
All right, Isaac division, I guess it is.
So we randomize all these things and we're going to compare them. Now, I was like, do I do genres? I was like, that's too much fucking work because I'm lazy and anyone knows how I am. And so we're just going to go random verses.
Okay. So, it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, Alva. Well, I'll try to like, you know, speed through it, but here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
Here it is.
Best Christmas pageant ever or Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
See? See how kind of like unfair it is? Now, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice being the sequel to the original Beetlejuice, and then Christmas pageant, Best Christmas pageant ever made me feel
feelings.
That's a tough one.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to go Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Okay, you better because they're all
stuck. I know. She was going to kill me.
Nobody would find you.
Right. Next on that list.
Kraven the Hunter or here. I'm just going to.
Oh, jeez. A Soderbergh movie, Tom Hanks.
Now, this one isn't Kraven fair. This one is not fair.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. Again, this is the first time we're doing this. This can go terribly or whatever. We can like it.
This one's not fair. The Wild Robot or Terrifier 3. It's not fair because they both made me feel something.
Golly, that's really tough. Okay. The Wild Robot was an amazing emotional movie.
Animated.
Uh-huh. And the Terrifier 3, I think, though, is going to be highly remembered.
Yeah.
Compared to the Wild Robot. So Terrifier 3 is going to take the cake. But I tell you people, see the Wild Robot. It is a sleeper of a movie. I don't even know how to spell it. Golly. That one, like, if you want to feel it, your feels, that one and Inside Out too.
Mm-hmm. Monkey Man or Twisters? I forgot we watched Monkey Man.
Yeah, Monkey Man was really cool, but I think I was more impressed by Twisters.
Twisters? You got it, sir. Although I would say Monkey Man. But,
really?
Yeah, because I just felt like the whole, like, how they shot everything in the story of it. But, you know, to each his own.
That's why this is me deciding this.
Yeah.
And then the winner's going to go up against.
Inside Out 2 or Joker Folie à Deux?
Inside Out 2.
I'm just going to fill that in for you.
I know. I still personally say that I don't think Joker was a bad movie. It did what it needed to do.
It's just Speak No Evil or Maria? Speak No Evil. Just get that in.
No, Maria.
Maria?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Never mind. Don't make my decisions for me. What the fuck? No, because I was looking at that one as I was writing it down, and I was like, Speak No Evil was serviceable, and it did what it needed to do. But Maria was like, it made me feel more, you know?
Okay. Blink Twice or Conclave?
It's got to be Conclave.
These are two movies I made you go see.
Correct. But it was so close. And like, I liked what Blink Twice was doing and how it exploited or put a light on all the bad stuff in Hollywood. But Conclave was like amazing.
Gladiator 2 or Abigail? Now, remind me what Abigail was.
Oh, Abigail was the ballerina vampire, speaking of vampires.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a close one because if you heard the episode of Gladiator 2, I thought it was cool. Abigail 2 was also cool. I'm going to have to go Gladiator 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's Christopher Nolan's favorite movie of the year. I feel like the guy hasn't seen movies.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Back to Black.
Uh-huh. The Amy Winehouse biopic?
Yeah. Or Lisa Frankenstein.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to go Lisa Frankenstein, which was directed by Zoe Williams, which is Robin Williams' daughter. And I that movie we saw at the beginning of the year, I think in February.
Yeah.
And I think it deserved more praise. I wish more people would go see
really
it.
Good. It was really good. It was really good, yeah. A Complete Unknown versus Bob Marley. Ooh, I like that. Okay.
So, I mean, we're covering Complete Unknown in the next episode, but... Complete Unknown, easily, because the Bob Marley one like took too many like artsy liberties, and Complete Unknown, which is directed by, I forget the guy's first name, but Mangold. Quick review on that on this movie is like, and he did Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash biopic. This is how make this guy in charge of all the biopics. Mm-hmm. No artsy symbolism, no flashback bullshit.
It was there.
It was just it,
feeling.
It told a segment of that person's life, Bob Dylan's life. And it was wonderful.
Okay. Heretic or Furiosa?
I had problems with Furiosa. I think it was great, but boy, that's a hard one. I'm going to have to go Heretic. Sorry.
I would be there with you.
Yeah, Furiosa didn't hit like I wanted it to.
The Crow or Maxine?
Maxine. And very few people like The Crow. Also, very few people like Maxine, but I strongly disagree with why they dislike it.
A Quiet Place Day One or Ministry of
Ungentlemanly Warfare. Yeah, that was a lot to write in there. So,
did I see that one with you?
No, I saw that with the Hype Attack.
That's the one that was World War II based, right?
Yeah, Henry Cavill, I think Alan Ritchson. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Ungentlemanly Warfare because I think it was a Guy Ritchie movie. That's and what was it up against? Day One, right?
Yeah.
Quiet Place Day One. Mm-hmm. Quiet Place Day One was fun and how they explored the story, but I still had a problem with like they had a missed opportunity.
Okay. Next one. Red One or Wonka?
That is two of them. Two Timothée Chalamet movies on this list. Gonna have to go Wonka. Mm-hmm. But Red One was pretty good.
Yeah.
Did what it needed to do.
Okay. This one, you've only seen one. But I feel like I already know what you're...
Oh, come on. Go ahead.
It Ends With Us or Madam Web?
It Ends With Us.
Okay.
I'll take a romantic comedy.
Shut up. Well, at this point, now it's become a lawsuit. So, hey.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Argyle or Immaculate?
Oh, crap. You know...
Immaculate was the one with...
Sydney Sweeney.
Okay. I don't want to say Sweeney Todd.
Damn it. That's actually a tough one.
Also Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa.
Because I thought Argyle gave you what you expected from that movie, but then it didn't stick the landing. And then Immaculate made itself to be one type of horror film and then turned into Argyle. That's a close one. Yeah, Argyle.
Going back. Mm-hmm. Beetlejuice or Here?
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go Beetlejuice. I liked what Here was doing. And although Beetlejuice had a problem with all its plots, I did cry at Here.
It's up to you.
No,
I'm
but
not putting pressure.
I want more Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really need to give you this one. Terrifier 3 or Twisters?
Terrifier 3?
Yeah.
Come on.
Inside Out 2 or Maria? Ooh, God, that's a good one.
I'm going to put Inside Out 2. Mm-hmm. Because they continue to explore the mind of a growing person.
Okay.
In ways that, like, make me feel seen.
Mm-hmm. Conclave or Gladiator 2?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Conclave on that one. Easily.
I'm glad the movie that I chose to watch made it into this list. And it's making it wasn't just, like, cut off right away. Oh, this one doesn't have stand a chance. Lisa Frankenstein or a complete unknown?
Decisions.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lisa Frankenstein or a complete unknown? I'm going to have to go a complete unknown. Mm-hmm. Just because I thought it was a great job of biopic. And like, I've been starving for good biopics.
Heretic or Maxine?
Hmm. Oh, crap. You know, that's actually a tough one to compare. I'm going to have to go Maxine.
Really? Because I felt like you shit on Maxine a little bit too much. And you're like, Heretic is awesome.
Well, as far as the leads in that, right?
Yeah. Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant was like, oh, it's the first time being a villain. And you did a great job. But man, more credit to Mia Goth.
Okay. Ministry of...
Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah. Or Wonka.
When can I go Wonka? I want a sequel. I want more Wonka.
Thank you for saving me for that name. It Ends With Us or Argyle?
It Ends With Us.
Really?
Yeah, still.
Oh my God. Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh boy.
Beetlejuice, or Terrifier 3? I already know this answer for you.
Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Beetlejuice. You only made it twice, so it's fine. Inside Out 2 or Conclave?
Damn. And I totally am aware that the problem with this list is like now it's comparing two completely different movies. Mm-hmm. I have to go Conclave.
Okay. A Complete Unknown or Maxine?
Complete Unknown. I want more biopics.
Wonka or It Ends With Us?
Wonka.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Terrifier 3. This is for the second to last round. Terrifier 3 or Conclave?
Terrifier 3.
Okay.
Because I want more of it. Conclave was great, and I'm sure we'll get more Academy Award winning movies.
Now this.
I want more like iconic horror.
This. Icons. This one is Timothée Chalamet v. Timothée Chalamet.
A Complete Unknown or versus Wonka.
Yeah.
Sorry, Timothée Chalamet. I'm going to have to go with Timothée Chalamet and Complete Unknown.
Okay.
Because like with Wonka, where my problem with that was he like went too much with his performance and then reeled it back in. Whereas Complete Unknown, he was fantastic as Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Terrifier 3
or A Complete Unknown. You want more biopics?
You want to know how my brain works? Is like that's the level of spectrum, you know, total eclectic. I've got to go Terrifier 3.
Okay.
Terrifier 3 is going to win it for me. I am a sick puppy. Yes, sir-ree. And that's going to conclude the Isaac division of it. Tune in to the next episode where we will go through Alva's division. And then those last two movies will win what the Carmonas thought for the best movie of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so your Terrifier 3 goes through mine?
Yep.
Oh, I feel like I already know who's going to win that one, but I don't know.
You'll have to listen.
Oh, God. I'll fight you
for
it. There
you go. There's the end of that song. Okay. Anything else you want to say? You want to wrap this up?
No, go watch Nosferatu right now.
Yeah.
I mean, right now.
Freaking
get
duh.
Get your tickets for tomorrow.
Man, what are you doing? Duh. All right. Let's close it out. Thank you, everyone. Once again, now we ease into our goodbyes. It's just so long for now. I love everyone. I hope everyone had a very happy holiday. And I hope that you check out our videos and stuff that we put on social media, which people can find.
FOREHED Films on Instagram and TikTok.
Alva, what does that spell?
Forehead Films.
Forehead Films, folks. Check us out. Give the likes. Give the shares. Support us on Venmo at YHSTPod. A reminder, you can watch us live streaming on TikTok. We put notifications out, so make sure to follow our stories on both of those social media handles hit notification bells and things like that to stay tuned. We're doing a lot of great stuff, folks. So join us on our end of year episode next. But for now, let us know what movies are you're excited to see and maybe what's coming up in 2025. Like, I don't know. And let us know what movies are on your growing list of films that has people asking you the question.
You haven't seen that?
Adios for now, folks.
Okay, bye.